Dave, you asked a question on your Twitter feed that I think is the most important thing I've read, the most important tweet in a long time. And boy, I hate that it's a political one, but it's perfect. Play it out. You say, one, the Republicans acquit Trump tomorrow, and then two, what then? And I'm sorry, there's background noise here, but we're just going to have to talk through it. First, I think the Republicans will acquit Trump. And I think what then is that the country really, really, really does split down the middle, hard and bad. And I don't know entirely where that goes, but it's going to be dual narratives. And narratives are stories. So let me go into how that works. The first narrative, the one that that has been prevailing in most of the press, the non-right-wing press, says that basically, well, we're following the impeachment. Trump is going to be impeached by the House. The House, which has a majority of Democrats, indicts Trump, sends the articles to the Senate. The Senate tries Trump. Majority of Republicans there acquit him. And they acquit him because, we now know their case because they've released their case. They're making two cases. One is the offenses for which he's indicted do not rise in badness to the level that would require impeachment. They are not high crimes and misdemeanors. They are minor offenses and within the scope of his entitlement as president. And the other is that it's a partisan thing. That's their case. It's partisan. And it is. It's a case that they can make. It's a case on the other side of saying, no, it's not really partisan. But if you look at how the votes go, it's partisan. And there may be a couple of defections on either side, but for the most part, it is. That it is partisan doesn't make it right or wrong, by the way. But that's the case they'll make, and I think it will succeed. And when they do, Trump is going to crow like you've never seen before. He will be a winner. He'll talk about how he's a winner. He will characterize himself as a winner, and he will do that. And also, he'll characterize the Democrats as losers. He'll make the appeal that if you want to vote for a winner, vote for all the way down the Republican ticket. It's a winning ticket. They're a winning team. Their team won. It's going to be all about winning, because winning is very, very easy to explain. And as a congressman named Watt many years ago, Larry Lessig gave a talk about this, said when he quit Congress, if you're explaining, you're losing. The Democrats, as Ricky Ricardo said to Lucy, you got a lot of explaining to do, right? I don't say you got some explaining to do. That's only for old people, by the way, that particular thing. Trump doesn't explain a damn thing. He just says shit. And this shit he's going to say is that he's the winner. He won. Isn't it great? Democrats are losers. He's going to portray the Democrats as losers and whiners and a great team for political correctness. And he's going to come up with, that's going to be his whole thing. And on the left, they're going to just explain everything. Explain, because that's what they do. But there will be two narratives. And there will be the politically correct one on the left, and there will be the politically simple one on the right. And people will line up on either side, and it's going to get ugly. And the only way that Trump gets defeated in November, and I think it's a doable thing, is if the Democrats as a whole rise up and vote. It'll come back down to voting. And maybe that's what Pelosi wanted in the first place. Maybe what Nancy Pelosi wanted was, even if we lose, you know what? Now the stakes are even higher. We have to make it really clear. This is a most major election we could possibly have. We have to get all the Democrats out everywhere and defeat the minority, because they are a minority. Okay, whether they are right or wrong, and I'm not taking a political stand here, I really don't want to. I have many relatives and friends that are on both sides of this thing. Many more on the left than the right, but that's just where I hang out. But It'll be interesting. But I think the real wild card here, and you've pointed this out before too, is Bloomberg. If I'm not mistaken, Bloomberg has basically pledged his fortune to defeating Trump, who he really doesn't like, and with cause. He was mayor in New York. He operated in New York for a long time. Bloomberg feels that he really did earn his billions honestly and operating, a great business, whereas Trump has basically been a branding powerhouse who's bluffed his way into whatever billions or millions that he has. I'm not sure that Trump ever was a billionaire, by the way. And I think if his tax records ever come out, that'll say that. But, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows Trump lies. The thing is, on the right, they don't care. We had this in North Carolina when I lived there with Jesse Helms. A really brilliant writer named Hal Crowther compared Jesse Helms, look him up, everybody who doesn't know who he is. He was a senator in North Carolina who was a far-right guy. And he won over and over again. And he, like, by the way, like Trump, was a media star before he was a political one. And Hal Crowther wrote this wonderful piece. I'll try and look it up, see if I can find it, where he compared Jesse Helms to the mean dog chained to a Buick engine block at the end of a bad road. And the proprietor, the owner of the dog, saying, "Ain't he a pisser, though?" And that was pretty much why people liked Jesse Helms. He was a pisser. He was our pisser. Old Jesse's—he'd go up against all them liberals all you want. He's the best guy we have. That was Jesse Helms, and I think there's pretty much a similar feeling toward Trump. He's a pisser, but he's our pisser, and we want what he wants. We know what he stands for. It's entirely clear. You can explain it all you want on the other side. Just go ahead and explain it. We know what this guy's about. We know what he means when he says "Make America Great Again." We know what he means when he says "Enough with this and more of that." And never mind that it's, what we on the or those on the left, I don't want to position myself, would call dog whistles, But the dogs will whistle with Trump. Only thing to do is defeat him in November, and that's what Nancy wants. That's what I think has a chance of happening. But again, it's going to get real ugly before we get there. And I'm especially worried about violence, about assassination. I mean, the Secret Service on, protecting people on both sides have a tall order right now. It's a tough one. I think that their angers are going to flare. And again, it's dueling narratives. And it comes back down to, nobody wants to look at this, by the way, to stories. You have character, you have problem, and you have movement. Trump is all character, all problem, all movement. And he's really, 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 really gifted at understanding how that is. And what he's done, by the way, is taken pretty much all of the fully honest, truly caring, genuine journalists off the table by attacking them and calling them fake news. And there are some, by the way, that are fake enough. I mean, frankly, when I look at, I think, frankly, if you were to judge lying and the rest of it, I think MSNBC and CNN are more accurate and honest than Fox News is. But all of them are partisan, and all of them have partisan axes to grind, and all of them are not listening very well to the other side except to make fun of it or to give it shit. And that's a problem. There is a center that's gone. There's a center that does not hold. However, the place where we can recreate the center is not at the national level. Let's say Trump loses in November, and let's say it's Warren or Klobuchar or even Bloomberg, who I don't think will do it, but any one of them wins. It's not going to be a fun thing, especially fun. It'll be at some level tragic, because a very large hunk of the country that really loves Trump and wanted to have him continue in office is going to be very unhappy and saying very unhappy things. But It's at the local level. My wife, back in when the internet came along and first saw it, said the sweet spot of this thing is local. All the people like me were saying, oh my gosh, we're a global village now. You know, Wired was calling it a global village. They said Marshall McLuhan calling the world a global village in the television era, of all things, said that, and satellite. He saw satellite as making things a global village. And that now stands as like proxy for the internet. You know, said the thing's going to be a global village. Everybody's connected everywhere in the world. It's cheap. Everybody's in touch. This is going to have a lot of great things. And my wife said, the sweet spot is local. And why was the sweet spot local? This is really, really, really important. It's hard to lie about local issues. You know, we here in Santa Barbara had mudslides called debris flows 2 years ago around now. And I participated as a journalist in that. That got me a TED Talk. I'll put that in my outline. And my point with that is that, you know, what happened in my participation with that, when my readership of my blog went from like 24 a day to like 50,000, mostly local people who wanted to know which houses were destroyed. I had that information. I surfaced it. They wanted to know what this thing about debris flows was. How's that not a mudslide? And because it was doing that on a blog, they looked at it and said, you know, and they knew they could send me corrections and improvements to what I wrote, and I could do that. You can do that locally. You can be fully honest locally. It's very hard to be a fake. You can't have a local politician that's a Trump. You can't have even a local businessman that's a Trump lying all the time. And that's not a partisan thing to say. I think everybody on the right knows that too. Trump says whatever the hell is on his head, and a lot of it is just flat out wrong, whether it's lying or not. It's just wrong. He makes shit up. And he makes shit up that sounds plausible enough to his followers, to his base. You know, you can't do that locally. And I think we rebuild democracy. We start building out the internet we wanted in the first place. We make the internet happen, and we grow the internet forward, meaning our sharing of the internet forward, anchoring truth at the local level. And I think that works politically as well. I think it's going to be pretty damn cool. So anyway, in the long run, but in the meantime, it's going to get ugly, and it starts with Trump winning. Okay, that's enough.